On this edition of Oski Talk, we recap Brett Bielema's first coaching hires, offensive coordinator and offensive line coach. We talk about which players will be joining him for 2021, which will be heading to the NFL draft, and we preview the Illini's upcoming game against Purdue. Also, we hear from Ethan Joyce of the Winston-Salem Journal about Tony Peterson and a little Illini basketball. Let's go.
This won't end well for Illinois.
Here's a three. It ended well.
McCourt for the win. In the air. It is up. And it is gone.
Fourth and 16. Pressure comes. Emmanuel Bebe with the ball in the air. Makes the catch.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Oski Talk, a New Year's edition of Oski Talk. My name is Anthony Pasquale with Patrick Catizone. A lot to get into today, a little bit of football, a little bit of basketball as well. So with that, we'll just get right into it with our front page. First and foremost here on the front page, Brett Bielema has made his first coaching hires on the Illini staff with an offensive coordinator and offensive line coach. We'll start with the offensive coordinator, Tony Peterson, a guy that some Illini fans, you were one of the first to realize it, do have some history with.
Yeah, we played against Tony Peterson in the Heart of Dallas Bowl. In 2015 with, I believe that was Tim Beckman's last year, before the scandal broke about, making offensive linemen play through injuries. So this is not our first rodeo with Tony Peterson. It'll be interesting. He is a guy who has been to a lot of stops where the offense has probably already been set out for him before he was made offensive coordinator. That was certainly true at App State. We have an interview later in the show with Ethan Joyce talking a little bit about Peterson's time at App State, but when he was at App State, it was basically coming in running the offense that they had already run, had success with there before he was on the staff. So that's basically what he did there, and we'll talk a little bit about it because people are going to say that App State's offense took a step back, their quarterback took a step back, but it really wasn't that necessarily. App State has gone through three head coaches in 3 years. So there's bound to be, that kind of setback when that thing kind of happens. And I think the fact of the matter is that offense was good enough to win a lot of games. Maybe took a step back, but I think what comes along with it. I think the most impressive part of Tony Peterson's resume is you have to go all the way back to the early thousands. And look what he did at Minnesota, because realistically, that's what he's going to do at Illinois. I said this to a couple people. I said that Peterson probably hasn't actually put together, a full offensive playbook in a while that he could completely call his own. And obviously, Bielema is going to have a little bit of a couple things to say about his playbook. But I for the most part, this is going to be Peterson's shot to do what he wants. Coming in with a coach that is more defensive-minded. That being said, Bielema is going to have his hand in everything that we do. That's just kind of the coach he is. So it'll be interesting. And for the most part, it's going to be a run-first spread like we've seen in the past. Peterson has been known to be a guy who could fit the playbook to the roster, which is extremely important. That's what makes the best part of an offensive coordinator, defense coordinator, is their ability to look at the roster and say, this is what we're going to run. This will be successful with what we have. We'll win games this way. So hopefully that's good for Tony Peterson, but we'll see. I'm not going to praise him too much.
Yeah, Peterson has been a coach for about 30 years. He spent time in obviously the Big Ten with Wisconsin and Coach Bielema, but also Appalachian State. He's been in the MAC, Conference USA, Sun Belt. He's been all over the place. Never a head coach, always an offensive coordinator, so he has that offensive mind. He had this one quote that I kind of like just about the type of offense he's going to be running. He said, "We're going to show a lot of eye candy on some stuff. It's going to be modern-day spread type of look, but it's not going to be out of 10 personnel where we have four wide receivers out there. And I think that's, I mean, Illinois hardly ran four wide receiver sets this year, but we don't really have that depth. Our depth is more running the ball, which is something that he noticed, something that he liked, and hopefully something that he kind of builds his offense around.
Yeah, there's going to be some old school looks. You know, he said that there were going to be, you know, quarterbacks are going to be taking snaps under center occasionally, which is what Bielema is quite used to. But yeah, I mean, I think one thing that if you're Illinois, if you look at this roster, you want to, you know, utilize the tight ends, right? You got Luke Ford, a five-star recruit, and Daniel Barker, who's been fantastic in his time in Illinois. So I don't know if he just decided to come back or what his eligibility looks like for Barker, but at least get Luke Ford going, right? Those are important things that you want to, you know, add to this team this year. So yeah, there's that. And, you know, I was a little bit puzzled by the hire. I think a lot of people expected a little bit better hire, just because Peterson, you know, has had some questionable stops at Eastern Carolina, certainly a questionable stop. Appalachian State is a questionable stop last year. Yeah, fired from Minnesota. So there's, you know, there are questionable stops along the way. And I think a lot of Illini, when Josh Whitman raised the pool for the assistant coaches, expected more. So I guess the only thing I got to really say to finish out my Tony Peterson talk is that just give him a chance. It'll be interesting. Obviously, that run for a spread is what he's going to do. It's going to be pretty prototypical from what we're going to see around the Big Ten West, a little bit of an old school mixed with the new school spread. So it'll be interesting. We'll see what kind of success he can bring.
Yep, and that was the first coaching domino to fall. The next one was the offensive line coach, Bart Miller. And I got to be honest with you, just listening to his press conference got me fired up to play offensive line.
Yeah, oh, I think we all were. Bart Miller is a great hire. This was actually a really excellent hire. I mean, he stayed on that press conference for 30 minutes. It was 30 minutes of just Bart Miller talking about offensive line. I thought this one would be a 10-minute or even shorter than Tony Peterson, but double this time. So, look, Bart Miller's got certainly a pretty big future in coaching. I wouldn't be surprised if sooner or later he makes an assistant head coaching job here at Illinois. But he is a guy who is just very, very qualified to be offensive line coach. He's made a couple stops along the way. Coming from Wyoming in this last one, but he coached with Bielema at Wisconsin. He's a guy who demands a lot from his players. So that's one thing you really like to see from your offensive lineman. You want to move that line of scrimmage, you know, 3-4 yards. And if he could get that from his guys, your run game's always going to be successful. So, you know, from a coaching aspect, I think this is a really, really good hire. And, you know, one thing I will say too is that you got two guys that are willing to gel together, and especially with Brett Bielema and how important that is on a staff, guys who can work together. Obviously, Peterson said that he was going to have, you know, people, you know, make comments and add plays to his playbook. So, you know, there is, you know, an aspect to that where you're feeling comfortable with these first two hires, that these guys are going to get along with Bielema, as well as with each other. So, both really, really, really good hire on the Bart Miller one, and Peterson. We'll see how that kind of turns out.
Yeah, and Miller also spent some time with Bielema at Wisconsin, and they were able to turn a lot of offensive linemen pro, something that they're going to have the opportunity to do here at Illinois with the news that Doug Kramer, Alex Palcheski, and Vidarian Lowe will be returning to the team in the offensive line for the next season. Kendrick Green has decided to make his move to the NFL. And Brandon Peters is going to be back for 2021. That announcement was also made on the defensive side of the ball, just to catch everybody up. Jake Hansen and Milo Eifler have declared for the NFL draft. And Owen Carney has entered the transfer portal after leading the Illini in sacks. Still waiting on the rest of the announcements, but that's about five or six players that we now know.
Yeah, this is interesting because I thought Brandon Peters was an interesting one because I think Illini fans are kind of...
Same.
You're kind of over him a little bit just with the way he played this year. he just didn't bring it this year. Like, you brought it last year. Brought it specifically at the end of the season. was fantastic. I know, you know, you could blame that wherever you want, Rod Smith or whatever, but, you know, it seems like Isaiah Williams won the job. And one thing I got to say, Tony Peterson mentioned Peters a lot more than he did Isaiah Williams. So
a ton. Yeah.
Peters might be the guy in Illinois next year again, but, you know, that's saying before a spring ball, before these guys have even looked at the playbook. So we'll kind of see how that turns out. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Peters. Kind of moving on to, you know, Owen Kearney, kind of a big loss. That's not something you like to see. He's a guy who, you know, was a pretty good edge rusher this year. So, we'll see what we do. They do have Keith Randolph. That's the one name now. If you're an Illini fan, you really do not want to hear transfer, because he's a guy who can be an all Big Ten edge rusher, great defensive end here at Illinois, and I'd be excited to see what Bielema can do with him.
Yeah, and I mean, Peters kind of fits the mold. Going back to Brandon Peters, he fits the mold of the quarterbacks Peterson has worked with in the past, which makes a little bit more sense why he talked about him. And, you know, obviously the guy had COVID. He missed 3 games. First game against Wisconsin was bad. Had a few really good games and then a few really good drives against Iowa. But it was up and down with him. We saw more of a spark with Williams. Like you said, I wouldn't be totally surprised if Peters, you know, wins the job next year. But, you know, with the news of him coming back, it also wouldn't completely shock me if Isaiah transferred. That wouldn't totally shock me. We haven't heard yet if Corey Patterson is going to be staying on the staff. I think if he ended up leaving, Williams might go with him as well. But that's all speculation on my part, not reporting. But hopefully they have both of those guys to help him out in 2021 and find somebody to set the edge, and maybe some transfers linebacker-wise, because that's going to be a thin unit with Kalen Tolson and Tariq Barnes coming off of injury and Shamon Cooper coming off for injury, all three of them with your two best guys heading to the pros. So we'll keep an eye on that, but best of luck to those guys who are leaving.
Yeah, the linebacker core is really interesting too. I totally forgot to mention that. It's going to be hard to run the 3-4 next year. I think Bielema sees that. He's going to have to get probably 3 or 4 more guys from transfers just because, you know, those three linebackers that will be starting next year are all coming off injuries and coming off surgeries in the past week. So they won't. You'll have 0 linebackers, I believe, on scholarship playing in the Spring Bowl game. Not something you want to see. Unfortunately, now, you know, I talked about this a while back, that if Lovey, I think probably 2 years ago, when we really just were starting the podcast, I said something along the lines of, if you have a lot of transfers, the next head coach is going to really struggle, because Lovey built this team where he was consistently adding older guys as well. And at some point that'll backfire on if he either gets hired or he can't do it 1 year, because then you'll have less roster, and you'll have extremely low depth. Mm-hmm. You know, despite having depth for what seemed like a long time, linebacker depth this year was insane. But then you lose Delano Ware to being a transfer. Obviously, Hanson Eifler left. And then you have 3 guys lost injured. To yeah. injury. What is that? That's 7
6
guys.
Deep already, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, well, you know, what do you do now? Obviously, Lovie Smith would go to the transfer market, find the guy he likes. We'll see if Bielema can do the same. But now he's working backwards, right? He's doesn't even have a staff hired yet to do stuff like that, so...
Right, and you also said, I mean, that was when, you know, Illinois was able to get Josh Amedebebe and Wole Batiku and all those guys, that it had the opportunity to backfire. Here it is backfiring. We'll see what the new regime can do to figure it out. But we'll shift gears here into basketball. They've been off for a while. Nice for them to kind of regroup. Obviously still not seeing family. Brad Underwood talked a lot about the sacrifices, especially guys like Georgia Bashanishvili and Kofi Coburn, have made with their families in different countries that they haven't seen in a long time. But they do have a game, January 2nd, Saturday. They are going to be playing Purdue. Purdue 7-4 on the year, 9th in the Big Ten. I think they're 1-2 in conference play. Losses to Iowa and Rutgers, and a win over Ohio State. Purdue's a decent team, and we're going to be getting them off a little bit of a break as well. But Illinois is on about a week off when they're going to be playing Purdue. It's a game that they need to win if they want to keep this up.
Yeah, this is a, like you said, a really good team. It is a team that you can't look past when you look at your schedule. I think a lot of us have already marked this one up as a win, but let me tell you, this is a difficult team. They played Rutgers, you know, I will say without Ron Jr., very tough last week. You know, there are certain guys on this team that will very much frustrate you. The first one that comes to mind is Sasha Stefanovic. He is a guy that is on the floor. He's a guard, but he's a really tough guard, and can really make you hurt if you know, we start playing a weak defense. Obviously, Trevion Williams, the forward, is the big guy for Purdue. The star, what's kind of nice about this team, too, is in terms of size, I feel like we match up somewhat well. Zach Eddy is the center there. Not the greatest center in the world. Obviously, Kofi is a better player, but he still has the ability to be kind of a game changer against the Illini. If Kofi starts, you know, fouling out and stuff like that. But Trevion Williams is the guy really that you got to be afraid of. Eric Hunter Jr., another guy coming in at guard. Fantastic shooter as well. Pretty good as well. The other name I want to throw out here too, sophomore Isaiah Thompson. He played extremely well against Rutgers. He's a guy who's probably going to be one of the more future guys for Purdue, but coming off the bench, he scored, I want to say, what did he score, 17 against Rutgers. He was pretty great in that one, so he's another guy you kind of have to watch out for coming off the bench there.
Yeah, I think, like you said, Trevion Williams is probably the biggest guy for Illinois, but you also mentioned something that I was going to say as well. This is a team that size-wise, Illinois matches up pretty well against, especially with the way Georgia Bashanishvili's been playing lately. You kind of have those two bigs you can deploy against this Purdue team, and you know Illinois likes to run with four guards, and so that speed is going to be hard for Purdue to match. I think it's a game that you really need to start strong. These sloppy starts that Illinois has had the last couple of games, Penn State and Indiana, isn't going to keep working. You're going to need to figure that out. I'm assuming that's what Underwood has addressed over the last week or so. A hot start is big, and I think, I mean, a lot of it is just going to be opening up Kofi Coburn early instead of in the second half, letting him eat down in the paint, and then also kicking it out and getting your shooters going, because they've struggled shooting three the last couple of games despite being one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country up to this point. So I think that's your biggest key to get the offense flowing in this game.
Yeah, this is a team, and I will say Eddie is a tall dude. The guy is 7'4". So, you know, size-wise, I think we're all right, as long as, you know, you could kind of move Kofi around underneath the hoop the way that we typically do, because, you know, those two guys, two big guys, are going to be the guys that really make us pay. Obviously, Williams and Eddie are two guys who are pretty tall, all things considering, but yeah, just kind of like I said, it's kind of all about moving Kofi around, making sure that he's making, you know, forcing bad shots up, or making blocks. So that'll be important. Other than that, defensively, obviously, guys have to be on top of their game. You know, guys like Trent Frazier, Demonte Williams have to be extremely good. Iowa has to have that killer instinct. Don't look past this team. I will say this, off that much rest, I think is a good thing for this Illini team. We talked about how they were kind of tired last week and how they just kind of escaped Indiana because of that. They were grinding everything that they had left in them in that Indiana game. Then you come off, obviously, a seven-day break, and you get Purdue team. So I think, you know, in terms of intensity and practice, they're there. You know, Underwood, in my opinion, has always brought that. They'll be ready for this one.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Use your speed to your advantage, and you shouldn't be tired. So it should be a game Illinois wins, in my opinion. I'll lead us off with predictions here. I got a 10-point win, Illinois 78, Purdue 68.
All right, I like it. I have Illinois winning this one 89 to 75. I think a pretty decisive win. Don't overlook Purdue, though. This is a team that can grind out games. So, the only team that's been able to kind of beat them by a large margin was Iowa, and I think we're right there with Iowa.
Yeah, the gauntlet of the Big Ten continues. But we're going to shift gears here into volleyball for the first time in a while, and that is because the volleyball team, who has arguably been the best team on campus over the last couple of years, they finally have a schedule. COVID kind of pushed everything back for them. They didn't even start their season until January. You and I both know they're usually playing in the fall. But January 22nd, Illinois volleyball gets going at home against Iowa. So keep your eyes on the volleyball team.
Yeah, Chris Thomas always brings a good team. It's kind of nice to have a team you don't have to worry too much about in every game because they're just a dominant group of people. And that's just Illinois volleyball. And, it'll be interesting. I'm see how they kind of play through COVID. It's one of those sports that you don't really see a whole lot. So I'm kind of curious how it's going to work out.
Yeah, I doubt the handshakes in between sets are going to be the same, or the switching sides. Like, I don't know. There's something that they're going to have to figure out in that regard, but just good for them to be back on the court playing in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we've all been through a really hard time right now, and some of these schools were programs, I should say, that are, just not able to play during COVID and just haven't had the intention because they're not as much of a revenue maker. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, volleyball, I believe, is for Illinois or at least is close to. So it's kind of nice that these programs that just don't get as much attention are kind of back and ready to play, and especially a program that is so successful at Illinois, because that's, I think, what we need right now. A little success.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Hope to see it from the volleyball team soon. With that, Pat did mention we have an interview for you guys today. Ethan Joyce of the Winston-Salem Journal. In our next segment, say what?
This week on Oski Talk, we have Ethan Joyce of the Winston-Salem Journal here to talk a little bit about Tony Peterson and his time at Appalachian State. First, kind of want to ask you, because I feel like a lot of App State fans have had opinions about him leaving. What was your initial reaction?
You know, I was a little surprised, to be honest with you, just because I don't know. The coaching market's just so hard to try to have a good handle on, especially for assistant coaches and, you know, what a head coach is going to be looking for in his OC. I was surprised, but also, yet again, he's a guy that's had some success in the Big Ten before. Mm-hmm. I think as far as a coach who, at least from a person who's really just kind of observed him a little bit over his years when he was at Wisconsin and when he was at Arkansas, a guy that loves to run the ball, and you know, Tony Peterson is coming off of a year where he led a pretty prolific rushing offense. So it's not surprising to see him get picked up by a guy like that. I just think in 2020, it's hard to know what a coaching market was going to look like and what names were going to pop up for jobs. So I think it surprised everybody a little bit how quickly that came to be.
Yeah, obviously just 1 year at App State, but I feel like there's been, fans and people watching this team have said that they've kind of took a step back offensively when he was added to the coaching staff. Do you think that is an accurate characterization of what happened?
You know, I think App's offense definitely seemed like it was missing some of the teeth that it had had in 2018 and 2019. And, you know, it's a big mixture of a lot of things, right? You know, so App, I think three different play callers in 3 years is pretty difficult on any quarterback. I think you're dealing with probably the weirdest offseason that football programs have ever had to go through in this one. So I imagine it was a little more difficult as a first time OC trying to get acclimated to his players. And, you know, he had some weapons that either they were hurt or, there was one guy in Corey Sutton who is probably the best, one of the best wide receivers that App's going to have when it's all said and done with his career. He opted out for the 2020 season. So you had that stuff kind of involved too. And I think there was a component of it where it was mentioned on the Myrtle Beach Bowl broadcast that there were some instances where Tony maybe didn't feel as comfortable calling the offense because, you know, when he was hired, both the head coach at App, Sean Clark, and Tony said, Tony's coming in to run the App State offense, which is a lot of inside zone, outside zone heavy. And Tony had some pretty serious experience with that. But there's a component of that to where, not to say he wasn't allowed to have ownership over the offense, but I think it definitely, you know, when you're being told to do a certain type of offense, it maybe doesn't allow you to be as creative. So I've always kind of had that in mind with Tony, just because, you know, I think we saw Tony's version of the App State offense. I don't know if I ever got to really see what Tony Peterson's offense looked like that he had built over his career. So, you know, maybe at Illinois, you'll kind of get to see a little bit different of an offense than what was shown here at App.
Right. So it's kind of, you know, Sean Clark obviously being an offensive guy and the guy's been at App State for a while. It was kind of his offense, and obviously Drinkwitz's offense as well, that Peterson was just kind of coming in and running.
You know, I think what it was is that App State has very much had this offense that they run. You know, a lot of pistol looks for the quarterback. You know, spread style offense that was really like it came out of, you know, the mid to late 2000s with Scott Satterfield as OC, and he eventually becomes head coach. And Sean was very familiar with that too, because he came and was part of Sat's staff those last few years while he was at App before he went to Louisville. And your Drink came in and, to his credit, realized that, you know, he probably would have done things differently, but he knew that the pieces that he had functioned in this offense very well, and he added some wrinkles to that. And I know Sean really kind of enjoyed some of the outside perspective that Drink brought in and added to that offense. So they knew that they wanted to keep that style of offense and the wrinkles that, you know, Sat had and Drink had, and that Sean and Tony were going to try to add to it. So I just think that's a hard ask. You know, just trying to fit in a mold where, you know, maybe it doesn't give you as much creativity, and Tony never complained about that. I think it was just, you know, that's just me as an outside observer thinking, like, I wonder what it would have been like if he, you know, would have come in with Tony Peterson's offense as opposed to, you know, trying to make what they're used to stay on course.
Right, and I kind of want to talk about Zach Thomas too, because obviously one of the most important positions in all of sports is quarterback, and, you know, people have said that maybe he took a step back this year, and I was kind of wondering what you thought about that. Did he take that step back, and whether or not that was Peterson's fault, or you know, just a mixing up of head coaches and you know, play callers?
Yeah, I don't think it's Tony's fault that Zach took a step back at all. Step back is harsh, is a harsh way to describe it, but I think he definitely had some more issues with turnovers, and I think you know, he had almost as many interceptions this year as he had the 2 years previous. And I think a lot of times people don't consider how difficult it is to go through three different head coaches and play callers in three different years. And you know, he was able to kind of still produce, you know, 2,000 yards and 20 passing TDs, which he has done all 3 years here. You know, I think you know, there's so many moving components to a play in football, right? To a football team in general. And I think that there were some times where, you know, maybe things weren't working, guys were hurt, you're trying to lean on some younger players, and maybe Zach is pressing to try to make a play a little bit when the offense needs it. You know, I think one thing that was difficult about the App State offense this year was that the good teams that they played really tried to force them to pass the ball. And in those games, they really struggled to do that. You know, the loss to Marshall, that's what they did. The loss to Coastal and Louisiana, you know, that's kind of what happened too. And they were still in those games against Louisiana and Coastal and like had a chance to win and potentially be finish a season 11-1 instead of 9-3. You know, it's football's a fickle sport, especially when there's so many moving parts, but I don't think Tony deserves some of I don't think Tony deserves all of the blame for some of the struggles that the offense had this year.
Mm-hmm. And just kind of from a recruiting standpoint, obviously just 1 year, do you think he kind of, is he a guy who can, you know, go into living rooms and convince players to commit to a team? Obviously App State's a somewhat difficult place to recruit, being, you know, next to the powerhouses like UNC, Wake Forest, obviously, you know, these bigger P5 teams. Do you think he's, in, at least in the 1 year that you saw him or were around him, do you think he's, you know, a good recruiter?
You know, that's tough to say. I will say that I think I see the traits of a guy that can be a good recruiter because I like the times that I got to interact with him, he was always like a straight shooter, always knew how to just like level and be honest about situations. You know, one of the first things that he said when us media got to interview him, yeah, he mentioned that App was going to have to go out and try to get two quarterbacks this recruiting cycle, and they did that. Yeah, they found the guy that they think is going to be a really, really good player once he gets in App State system and kind of gets to grow in college football a bit. So, you know, he definitely had a big hand in recruiting those guys. And, you know, App's bringing in Chase Bryce from Duke this year also, and, you know, that's a whole different kind of recruiting effort when you're talking about a grad transfer. But, you know, I think I really would have liked to have seen what Tony's offense looked like in a normal year where he actually got like a normal summer and fall camp with players. You know, I think everybody that went through transition this year, you know, I don't even know if 2020 can be a fair judge of anything, but I would have liked to have seen kind of how he advanced in year two with the Mountaineers offense.
Yeah, thank you very much. Really interesting. And kind of wrapping this up, a little bit of a random question, but I know you're a top 25 AP voter for basketball, and I was wondering where you think Illinois basketball belongs in that top 25.
You know, man, I definitely think they're a really good team, and I was ranking them really highly for a while, I guess up until that Mizzou game. You know, I think they really show a lot of promise. I really, really do. You know, it's fun to be an AP top 25 voter, but it's like a lot of pressure at the same time because you're trying to pay attention to all the different teams. And so I've really tried to do my best at checking in on some teams that are, you know, not in the area that I'm accustomed to. Illinois is one of those teams. I really like the way they play. I really do. I think again, it's like once teams kind of shake off the weirdness of 2020 and are allowed to establish their rhythm, you know, the next few months is the basketball that I'm really excited to see. And I think that's when you start seeing who teams really are.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. Really appreciate you coming on OSCE Talk. Really appreciate you.
Yeah, no worries, man. Anytime.
Thank you to Ethan for coming on this podcast. We learned a lot about Tony Peterson. Look, at the end of the day, I just think what he did at App State really isn't his fault. It just comes down to the fact that he was, you know, put into a program that had already had a set offense that he didn't want to change. A program that had gone through three head coaches in 3 years, three offensive coordinators in 3 years. And he didn't want to change that. So that's what happened. You know, kind of a little bit more insight on Peterson himself too. So that was kind of interesting to hear. And look, I don't want to say that this was a great hire because I'm not sure it was, but time will tell. Bart Miller seems like a great hire right now, and I just thought this one was not to that same level. But Peterson has a lot of time to prove me wrong.
Yeah, and he'll be able to bring in his own offense and at
and get to create it the way he likes. Like you said, he kind of inherited Appalachian State's offense, didn't get to play with it around as much as he would like. But good thing about talking to Joyce is he's as reputable of a person as you can get. I'm pretty sure, if I read it correctly, he's a Heisman voter and NCAA top 25 voter basketball-wise. So he's as knowledgeable like as it gets for college football and basketball.
Oh, yeah. He had some kind of things to say about Illinois basketball, so that was nice to hear as well.
Always good to hear. They're back in action on Saturday. That'll do it for this edition of Oski Talk. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with a new episode next year. Happy New Year to all you guys. But for now, ILL.
I and I.